So there we have it. We're going to be in the book of Jude to start with. And don't anybody ask me what chapter. Book of Jude, the letter of Jude. I'm going to read. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, for those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that once for all was delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept his eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing the punishment of eternal fire, yet in like manner these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael contended with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you. These people blaspheme all they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain and abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, and they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea and casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever." It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all, and to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage." My facetious side says, "Well, Jude was a little bit easy on false teachers, wasn't he?" Yeah, not so much. First of all, when he writes his introduction, he says, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James." He was also a brother of Jesus Christ, is my understanding. At least he's listed, the name Jude is listed amongst them. And so is James, but James was martyred. And probably by this time, I'm thinking he must have been martyred, because it's like, don't pay me any attention, it's because I'm Jesus' brother. You know, here's what I'm saying to you. Beware the false teachers. If you want to get a good synopsis of what false teachers are like, 2 Peter 2nd chapter. False prophets also arose among the people. Okay. I'm going to have to define myself here. In my back up too high on the mountain to do any good way of thinking. A prophet and a teacher is not that much different. A prophet was not necessarily a foreteller of things. They foretold some things. And Paul even said, you know, you can tell a prophet by what they say comes true. Okay, now that makes sense. But to me, a prophet was not necessarily a fortune teller. He was somebody who was a foreteller of God's word. Because it's going to say here in a minute that, you know, no amount of prophecy ever come by the prophet's own will, I think is how it puts it. But maybe I'm not quoting that directly. But they secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed they will exploit with false words. Greed, love of money, is root of all evil. And I believe that. I see it so much more these days with their gazillion dollar churches and glass walls and all the things that they come up with. And, you know, if we don't raise $1 million this year, the Lord's going to take me away. Remember that one? I didn't care much for his type of preaching anyway, so I thought, man, you know, if he's going to, he's going to. So he ain't getting my money. But anyway, both of these writers are talking about people who deliberately mislead, who deliberately teach falsehoods. But I'm going to give us all a warning when we go to teach. And the warning is for me too. I'm not excluding myself, and I don't think I'm incapable of it. But, and I'm not saying you did either, because you did good this morning. So. But we have to be very careful to have a very deep knowledge of what we're trying to teach, lest we teach something that is not true. Lest we teach something that is false. I knew a guy once when I was probably 12. Probably. Somewhere in there. Early teens, anyway. His name was George Morrell. He worked for El Paso Natural Gas. He had, as best as I could determine later on, somewhere between a third and a fifth grade education. He was functionally illiterate. He had to memorize Bible verses because he couldn't read them. But he had a burning in his bones to preach God's word. He wanted to so bad that he talked our preacher into letting him preach one Sunday morning. And he got up there and he was talking about Daniel in the lion's den. And the man said, now that lion didn't eat Daniel because when he was a cub, Daniel found him on the side of the road and pulled a thorn out of his paw. And he remembered that. Well, you've got your Bible stories and your Aesop's fables kind of mixed up here. And he said it not intending to mislead, not intending to be teaching a falsehood. He didn't know any better. I don't know if all these warnings actually apply to that circumstance. But what I'm saying is if you go to teach, and you best have a pretty good working knowledge of your subject matter. Now, is there any teachers here? Would that be a fair statement to make? I was in the Air Force. I wasn't a teacher. I wasn't even a good platform instructor. I couldn't get up in front of people and lecture them, you know, off we go into the Waterloo Yonder and all that kind of stuff. What I was good at was being an instructor. I could sit down one-on-one. And I could teach them which buttons to push. That one saved your life. That one saved your life, you know. And they remembered it that way. Yeah. When they went and flew the planes off of Diego Garcia in the Desert War, sorry, I get choked up on that one. Because it means so much to me. We did not lose an airplane that had an EW aboard. That I trained. Wasn't because I was that great of a trainer, because the whole time they were over there, I was praying for them as hard as I could. Nonetheless, what my message is tonight is This gospel message was once for all delivered to the saints. What does once for all mean? It means there's not going to be any more, any change, any new thing that comes along. If somebody says that, they're lying. If somebody teaches that and tries to justify their own existence out of what scriptures there are. You know, you can justify a lot of things with scripture. It's not true, but you can justify it. You can, for instance, Judas went out and hanged himself. It's in the Bible. Go thou and do likewise. Whatsoever thou do, doest quickly. What did I just tell you? Go commit suicide, basically. That's what it amounts to if I heard it. But that's not truth. That's not God's word. That's just a recording of what happened. But technically speaking, it is in Scripture, just that way. So, what I'm saying is guard your knowledge. Don't let anyone attack your knowledge. If anyone attacks you for being Christian when you take stands these days, just let them fling their arrows, because you've got a shield. It's your faith in God. It's your knowledge of His Word. They even talked about Enoch being a prophet. Anyway, I wish I could recall that scripture exact, because it says exactly what it is. No prophecy ever come from the prophet's own self. That's the best I can recall. But he was telling God's word. If we stick to God's word, we can't be wrong. Why is this preacher, the one that taught me what little I know, named Gerald Stockstill? He said, use lots of scripture because you know you got that part right. Anybody has anything they need to bring before the church or to be baptized or ask for prayers, then now would be the time to stand and sing.